When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why am I with Seabus Super?
Because I'm a builder and they take care of me.
Well, I had an accident on the worksite and they helped me out, no worries.
Yeah, they helped me out real fast.
Mate, they just get me.
Because they are for all of us.
Seabus, for all of us. To consider if Seabus is right for you, visit seabussuper.com.au for a copy of the PDS.
I had to go about it, write it out. Myself, and there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall just for one.
This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, day 16, brought to you as always by Seabus Super, the industry super fund hitting your retirement for six. Visit seabussuper.com.au. It was well, super for England today. They got a win. They managed to knock off the West Indies down at Southampton. But to give us all the detail in 30 seconds or fewer, I'm Jeff Lemon. This is going to be Adam Collins.
Hello, Jeff. West Indies sent in down at the Hampshire Bowl. They made 212. They got off to a pretty rubbish start, all told. They were 55 for 3 at one stage. Pooran and Hetmeyer put on 89 for the fourth wicket, but they went to pot after that. They lost 7 for 107 to round it out. Wood and Archer took 3 apiece. And then with the bat, a magnificent Root, especially 100 off 94 balls, one of his most beautiful 100s for England. He had help from Bairstow and Wokes along the way. They did it with 17 overs to spare. It was not a good game of cricket.
You've done it with 2 seconds to spare. Perfecto.
I'm quite happy with that.
We're not looking at stopwatches either. We're just refining this talent.
I remember when we interviewed Harsher on the longer show, and you can hear my voice is going. I've been on air for about 70 overs today. Harsher said that he learned at the BBC how to do a 30-second spot, a 90-second spot, a 3-minute spot, a 5-minute spot, just from repetition. And even now working with him, he always knows how long we've gone for. He goes, oh, I think that was about 6 minutes. And within a second. So maybe we're getting that kind of muscle memory after, what is it now, day 16.
The internal chronometer is working well. It was a disappointing game, I think, from the Windies. I was very carried away with their first win, and I thought they are on one here. We're going to see them rampaging back. They should have beaten Australia. They cocked that up twice. And then when you're looking at this game, they just weren't here today, really.
You know how in AFL speak, I know a lot of our listeners are from Melbourne, you talk about North Melbourne, North, and on their bad days, they're North. Today, the West Indies were North. Today, the West Indies were... This was the side that shouldn't have qualified for the World Cup version of the West Indies. This was the limp batting, relying on two kids who the bulk of the work shouldn't be left to.
Yeah.
It was a fast bowling unit stuck together with sticky tape. Andre Russell bowled 2 overs after 2 balls. He was reaching for his knees. He can barely get through an over at the moment. He was even shrieking when he was batting. After 2 balls, he'd hurt his arm or something. So they bowled poorly. They didn't bowl well with the conditions. There was tennis ball bounce. They bowled any number of wides above the wicketkeeper. Above the batsman's head. It was just ropey from the get go. After play today, Jason Holder was asked whether it's sudden death for them now, and he's kind of quite upbeat, but he doesn't have much to be upbeat about today. The most entertaining thing they did today all revolved around Chris Gayle bowling, which doesn't augur well. If the best thing that's happened to your team for the day is Chris Gayle bowling in junk time, it has not gone well at all.
Yeah, well, and sort of Chris Gayle being a comedy figure in the field, hamming it up in the field, going, oh, hey, look, I actually ran to save a ball or whatever. It's great doing the sort of Harlem Globetrotter stuff if you're winning, but it doesn't look so good when you're losing.
Yeah, well, when he came on to bowl, he was flossing. I mean, I know it's a bit of a thing that the kids do these days, but it looked, I think that's well described. Like, it was Harlem Globetrotter stuff. It wasn't what you would describe as the highest intensity World Cup cricket. I know they were on a hiding to nothing at that stage, but yeah, impressions matter. And I don't think they accounted for themselves well today, the West Indies. And that's disappointing. As you say, they won their first game handsomely. They should have beaten Australia a week and a half ago. And obviously they were rained out in a good position against South Africa, however many days ago that was now. And now, look, they go and play Bangladesh in their next game, who beat them in a tri-series 3 weeks ago. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bangladesh turned them over.
Yeah, well, the way that Bangladesh have been playing, they might well. Gail was worked over by Jofra Archer. Archer didn't get him out, but he got him out, really, because I mean, Gail was out taking on Plunkett. He was trying to smash a hooker six out of the ground, but I think that was just because he knew he couldn't really get anywhere against Archer. He looked uncomfortable. He got a few boundaries, but they were streaky. He was slogging at Archer and top edging and just looked all at sea. And he looked all at sea against Stark as well. I reckon that basically Chris Gayle's got to that point where if it's fast enough, he can't really see it anymore. He can't he can't play properly fast bowling anymore. So he can slog your 130 k an hour bowler, but he can't hit your 150.
Yeah, I think that's a well made point. It was a bit. It feels like it might be a bit of a farewell lap for Chris Gayle in a way. In that respect,
it always did even before.
Maybe it was
this sudden comeback this year to I'm going to play one day cricket again, and then scoring literally half his runs in sixes.
That's right. And look, to be fair, the dismissal was a stupid shot as well. Not only because he was taking on the longest boundary, but it was into the wind. Like, in order to have cleared the rope there, he would have had to have hit it a better part of 90 metres. And, of course, Chris Gayle can do that. But into the wind with a fielder out there, Johnny Bairstow of all people to take on, it wasn't good cricket. And as you say, he fell. And really, what I was most impressed by was the way that Mark Wood bowled, actually, in his first spell. He only bowled 6.4 overs, finished off the tail, but he was rapid, he was accurate, he picked up Shai Hope, who had a shocking day, actually. Shai Hope had a tortured innings of 11 in 30 balls, and by the time that Puran and Hetmeyer, I think Phil Walker describes Nick Puran as everyone's new favourite player, and I can see why. He's a very graceful left-handed striker of the ball. And Shimron Hetmeyer, of course, we've already seen what that left-hander can do, and we know how far he can hit the ball and so on. But they did account for themselves nicely. But once that was broken up, I mean, Andre Russell made 21 off 16 balls with two sixes, but he was dropped like third ball by Chris Wokes. It must be the first catch Chris Wokes has ever dropped in his entire life. Yep. In the end, there was some redemption when Wokes did catch him on the boundary as well. But, you know, that range of hitters they've got down the list, they haven't got anyone to rebuild the innings.
It was Russell, not necessarily judging the match. He did that against Australia where, you know, they needed a runner ball for the last seven overs or whatever it was, and they would have been home, and and he got out trying to slog the best bowler in the Australian team out of the ground. And then, you know, again today, at the point that he came in when they were nowhere, they really needed him to bat for a while. You know, they were, what were they, not even 30 over mark when he came in.
Yeah, and
you're not going to slog for 20 overs and make 200 at that point.
It was also game awareness. He came in when Joe Root had just taken two wickets in a couple of overs bowling, I would call it now, mystery spin. I think Joe Root's reached a point now where he's a mystery spinner, because he bowls off breaks is his stock delivery, which was the first of his wickets. That was Hetmeyer, who returned to catch a fairly soft shot, really. But the second one was his arm ball to Jason Holder. I'm like, who bowls an arm ball in 2019? Off the front, off the index finger. That, I mean, you see it in the, I guess, in the old MCC. I'm going to butcher what the actual guide's called now, but the MCC manual, so to speak, is a bit of a cliche, but or in an old cricket academy coaching video, probably more for our generation. You rarely, seldom see it actually bowled in professional cricket these days. And in between times, he was bowling leg breaks.
But he also, I think after the second wicket, tried a split finger slower ball, which he dragged about 4 metres down leg side and went for five wides. And that felt very reassuring to me. It was the kind of thing that I bowl. And you're like, oh, international cricketers occasionally look like everybody else.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. And I also, and this is probably more for the Hall of Fame, but I'll mention it now anyway, his celebrations to both wickets. The first one, he was jumping with his knees raised and fingers in the air one after another, like Phil Simmons in 92-93, which I always love that celebration. And the second one, I mean, it was like David Warner just made a ton the way he ran around the mid wicket, gave it the big ones. I'm like, yeah, that I want more of that. Joe Root's a lovely, lovely bloke, and I just love it when he celebrates and carries on. It's he's good value, he is.
I'm tipping he'd be your player of the day for his 100.
Yeah, I'm 100. Goodness me. The first 50 of that was about as good a cricket as you'll see. Now, the bowling wasn't red hot. It just happened to be that when he and Bairstow were batting in the power play, I was commentating with Robin Smith, who, of course, has released his book this week. And Robin Smith, arguably the greatest cutter of a ball in modern memory, probably the greatest cutter in my lifetime, to think about it now. And Johnny Bairstow played one of those cut shots, and I just looked at Robin Smith, and he was purring.
Yeah.
It was a nice moment, actually.
That's amazing. The,
was a really nice moment.
The synchronicity, because I say on the BBC call a couple of days ago, the Pakistan game, Michael Vaughan was waxing lyrical about Robin Smith's cut shot. So Andy Zaltzman, the scorer, pulls it up on YouTube, and then they sort of look at me and go on then. So I'm commentating Robin Smith against the West Indies in between doing Australia against Pakistan, switching back and forth. It felt very village. It felt very White Line Wireless, like, you know, doing it off the couch.
But if Michael Vaughan's commissioning you to do it, you just do it.
If you're told to do it, you do it.
I find it hard not to agree with Michael. When he says something, I just nod along. Yep. Even if I don't necessarily agree with it, he's got that kind of personality.
It's just easier that way. But my player of the day was, surprise, surprise, Jofra Archer again. I think it's been every game that England have played. I thought the way he worked over Gale, the way he got rid of Nick Pooran, who was obviously the best player on the day, made 63, looked great, but Archer bowled him absolute snorter. It just took off from a length. Mm. And Pooran was playing the short ball really well, and he was just dropping his gloves under it and riding it. And that one leapt at him so fast he couldn't quite get the glove down, and it just flicked the glove on the way through just outside off across the left-hander. And that is gorgeous fast bowling to have done that. And then the next thing you know, Archer's on a hat-trick because he knocks over Carlos Brathwaite and then Sheldon Cottrell in consecutive deliveries. And he was turned down for the catch-behind appeal off Pooran, but he was not going to be turned down for the leg before. He was like right up for that one.
Yeah, that was a good review made by Joss Butler, and the reason I raise that is because Joss Butler was captaining the side in the absence of Owen Morgan towards the back end, and that's a serious story. So the win for England today, which was convincing and comfortable, came at a cost. Jason Roy's hamstring, they're having scans overnight. We'll know tomorrow how bad a damage that is. That happened early on. He didn't bat and he wasn't going to bat. As for Owen Morgan, this was we're probably hinging on Hall of Fame stuff here. So he walked into the press conference after his back spasm late in the West Indies innings. Again, he wasn't scheduled to bat. Chris Wokes came in at number three and batted beautifully as well. Mm. Wokes, you're reminded sometimes with this England side that they've all made like 15 first class hundreds each.
Yeah.
And Morgan walked in and never sat down. He goes, "Yeah, all right, I'm just going to stand for my press conference." So he picked up the microphone off the table, which is not designed to be picked up, and caused a terrible fright to the AV guys there who were having conniptions.
Yep.
And then he just held the microphone up off the table and did his press conference that way.
Just did a stand-up set.
He did. It's almost exactly. So the actual hard news out of this, which we should
mention. Guys, what's the deal with airplane peanuts? You can't get the package open. And then there are like three peanuts in there.
But the hard news is that, newsbreakers is always in the final word. They probably won't play against Afghanistan, but they've got Afghanistan then Sri Lanka. Mm. Not a bad time to pick up an injury, I would say. If they can get two games into James Vince
and Liam Dawson maybe.
I think Moeen's probably more likely to come in because they want to get some runs into Moeen Ali. Even if Wokes did start at number three or number four, the more likely scenario is that Moeen gets an opportunity to bat and get some, you know, desperately needed runs. He was bowling well before he was dropped, but it was the batting which held him back. So even though it's a bit of a mini crisis, I suppose, crisis creates opportunity. That'll mean Butler will get the chance to captain England, which he's done pretty well in the absence of Owen Morgan over the last couple of years. He's probably stood in, I don't know, 5 to 10 times, and they've won pretty much every time.
I would say that the film The Italian Job was a mini crisis. Imagine if you had all that gold bullion stolen. absolute shocker for Italy at the time. So, Hall of Fame. Who's in it? What's in it?
Yeah.
I was thinking Joe Root's dancing as well because it was very cute.
Everything about Joe Root today. I mean, if you get a chance to jump on the clips, watch some of the driving from Root early today. It's easy to carry on about how nice Joe Root is to watch when he's batting, but this was like, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. It was his 16th one-day 100, 94 balls to get there. Yep. I loved every moment of it. So everything about Joe Root, but especially the celebrations for Hall of Fame purposes.
Chris Wokes coming up to first drop. Loved that. They were like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Our number nine or whatever he is can come and play first drop against you lot.
Yeah, our number nine made a test 150 at Lord's last year against India. Whatever. We'll send him up to number three. Looked really good. So I think there's a serious case to keep him at three, but that's for another day. How about the Sri Lankan hotel story? Do you see that today?
No.
There's a story floating around. I think it's on Crick Info initially. I think it might have came via one of the Sri Lankan newspapers, and I wish I had it in front of me to quote from it, but I'll give you the guts of as I understood it to be. They are saying that not only have the pitches been doctored against them, not only have their training facilities not been good enough, but they have not been given hotels with pools in them with every other team has.
Oh.
conspiracy theory from the Sri Lankan camp.
And you know how essential the pool is to the preparation of the Sri Lankan team.
Well, it does look worse than it is, obviously. Well, there actually is an element of that.
Nuwan Pradeep does not go into a match unless he's had a pool session. He needs to get in the Pradeep end.
Well, they're actually saying it's to protect the fast bowlers so they can pop them in the, you know, in the deep end so they can soak their muscles. Indeed, the Australian women at the 2017 World Cup stayed a long way out of Bristol in order to have a swimming pool. But I like the conspiracy theory. And one other Hall of Fame nominee, how can we not have Chris Gayle bowling in a hat? I think the last time someone bowled in a hat was when Jeff Boycott bowled with his hat backwards in the 79 World Cup against Australia. I think I've mentioned that about six times in the last six episodes, but that's what it reminded me of. So we've got Hall of Fame nominations aplenty.
Well, I'm going for the Sri Lankans today.
Yeah, I think the Sri Lankan conspiracy theory. I don't even know. It might have been one of those stories that comes from sources. It might have been someone inside the camp. Either way, it's ridiculous enough that it gets our gong to say that the ICC have a set against them.
Well, obviously you've got to eliminate the big threat for the World Cup Sri Lanka by disrupting their aquatic program. I mean, we've had every game rained off, and they're complaining there hasn't been enough water to swim around in. So they're up there along with Dimuth Karunaratne as our Sri Lankan Hall of Fame entrance so far. I think that's the end of part one. We'll be back in a second.
Jeff, how about this? We've got a new spin on Nerd Pledge, but it's sent through by our great mates at Cbus Super.
Really? Tell me what we've got.
9.29.
Okay, so that would have to be 9 for 29, which would be the New Zealand batting collapse against Pakistan when Yasir Shah took 8 for.
That's very good from you, spot on. But 9.29% is also Cbus Super's averaged annual return for their default investment option over the last 34 years.
I did not anticipate that completely organic segue. Goodness me. Do we have another number?
We do, actually, as it happens. 50.
Okay, 50 is probably the most common number in cricket, maybe aside from naught, so that's not too clear. But maybe it's the good bit of Bradman's career in between the debut at the Ecker where he sucked and then the last test where he made a duck.
Very nice. Right again. Also, $50 billion is how much of their members' money Cbus currently have invested.
Well, I've learned something new. Cbus Super, the industry super fund hitting your retirement for 6 years. You can visit cbussuper.com.au to find out more. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance. To consider if Cbus is right for you, go to cbussuper.com.au for a PDS. This is the final word. World Cup Daily, day 16 out of 46, maybe?
I think we're doing 49 podcasts.
We're part of the way there. Mm. We're part of the way there. So, England knocked off the West Indies today. That works out very nicely for England. Their next assignment, Adam, you mentioned it earlier. Walk us through it.
Afghanistan on Tuesday at Old Trafford. I think that might be the second of a stretch of games being held in Manchester. Probably, is it Tuesday? Yes, it is Tuesday. I'm getting confused here because, of course, the first game at Old Trafford is on the weekend between India and Pakistan.
It's also Afghanistan's first match where they're the only team playing on the day, where they actually get star billing on the day because it's an England game, I guess. So they wanted England to have the
even
focus.
Though it's a midweek game, it is an England game. I'm really thrilled to see that. So England should win that convincingly. They're in good nick now. I think England are they're skiing downhill towards the semi-finals. If they beat Afghanistan, then Sri Lanka, they're pretty much there.
Yep, the West Indies take on Bangers in Taunton on Monday.
Bangladesh are going to win that. I've convinced myself of this
Shakib
in the last 10 minutes.
He's going to roll the West Indies over. He's going to flip them. Well,
he's going to keep them alive in the tournament. That's what they're going to
do. Bangladesh in contention. And in terms of tournament, what's next? Two matches tomorrow on day 17. We've got Australia, Sri Lanka at the Oval, which should be very fun. The Papare bands, the big trumpet bands, always get in for the Sri Lankan support at the Oval, which is great.
I gather there's a huge Sri Lankan contingent that's going to be in tomorrow, so it's going to be amazing to watch.
Yeah, but they're going to be seeing a team that hasn't been in the pool, so how good could they possibly be? How good can you possibly be? Also, South Africa taking on Afghanistan at Cardiff.
So Afghanistan have the chance to eliminate South Africa or vice versa. Oh, let's go with that.
Imagine, and in Cardiff, what a venue to do it. What resonates with the name of Afghanistan more deeply, more ringing tones than the city of Cardiff, home of the Welsh fire in the new 100.
The Sophia Gardens, named, of course, year. After the capital of Bulgaria.
Named after Sophia Loren, I believe, who is a handy all-rounder in her day. So the doubleheader tomorrow, which means we'll be bringing you a late final word. This one was also late due to travel and various other things. So it won't be quite first thing in the morning Australian time, or it'll be relatively late at night English time, but it'll be after South Africa, Afghanistan finish off whatever they're doing down in Wales, and then the big India-Pakistan game on Sunday. So heaps to come this weekend. Oh. We'll be at all of it.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I can't stop thinking about India and Pakistan. I read a wonderful piece yesterday, a first-person piece by Simon Torfall, about standing in a test match at Karachi in 2004 between India and Pakistan and explaining the atmospherics around something like that. I tweeted it out last night. Have a read of it. It gives you a better understanding as someone who's perhaps not Indian or Pakistani about what this contest means.
That's it for today. This has been The Final Word, World Cup Daily, Day 16. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bye. Question my current senses. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it, write it out and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories. Every day, hundreds of thousands of us are building a future we can all be proud of. For over 34 years, the Growth Cbus My Super option has returned an average of 9.29% per annum for its members, while investing in projects that not only create jobs, but something better. Cbus, for all of us. To consider if Cbus is right for you, go to cbussuper.com.au for a PDS. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance.